At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 96. Today's date, November 13th. On today's podcast, we'll get into a couple of topics. Number one, when we're about 1 month into the NBA season, I'm going to give you my surprise and disappointing team for the East and Western Conference. Next, with a full set of games on Friday night in the NBA Cup, we'll preview five games. We'll preview Pacers versus the Heat, Clippers versus Rockets, Lakers versus Spurs, Suns versus Thunder, and Grizzlies versus Warriors. And lastly, we'll look at Friday night is a big game night in college basketball with Villanova versus Virginia, Alabama versus Purdue, and Marquette versus Maryland. Let's get today's podcast by talking about the NBA, folks. And as we are 1 month into the season nearly, I figure it's a good time to stop and talk about a team that's playing well and a team that's not playing so well so far in the season. So when you look at the Eastern Conference, folks, it's very simple. The team, and they got the best record in the East, and that's Cleveland. Cleveland sitting in an undefeated list, folks. I sat here and I told everybody that I was a big believer in the Cleveland Cavaliers this season because of the upgrading coaching with Kenny Atkinson. But I didn't see this. I didn't see a 10-0 start by Cleveland as part of what I thought was going to happen. But why is Cleveland playing so well, folks? Simply put, it's because they've become about the sum of their parts. Right? Donovan Mitchell, one of the best scorers in the league, is only getting you 23.7 points per game. And I think that's significant because he's getting shots and he's not overdoing. He's only 23rd, folks, in the league in scoring. This is a guy that's a perennial top five, the top 10 scoring guy in the league. And if you look at Donovan Mitchell over the course of his career, 46.8% is the best since his first year versus Cleveland. It would be the second best shooting split of his career. But the key thing is the 41% from three on 3.4 makes. That's significant. Donovan Mitchell, folks, has never shot over 39% from three, right? So for him to shoot this, you know, at 41% shows that he is maturing in his game and he's allowing the game to come to him. What else is going on? Well, the ascension of Evan Mobley. An Evan Mobley that I thought was going to be really key this year with Kenny Atkinson has jumped his scoring up from 15.7 to 18.1 points per game. You know, and 8.8 rebounds is the same, a little bit less than what his career average is. It actually is right at his career average. But he's also shooting 56% from the floor, which is around his career average, but 78.3% from the line. So he's doing a really good job of knocking down free throws and upping his scoring tick last year at 15.7. So really a good job by Evan Mobley stepping up. Darius Garland now is a 20-point-per-game scorer. You got to look at what he did, what you know Kenny Atkinson did for a player like D'Angelo Russell, kind of unlocked his game. 20.1 points, yes, it's 2 points a game higher. I know it's down from 21.6 at 22-23. But folks, 53% from the floor, 46% from three, 91% from the line. Folks, I know it's 12 games in, but those are all career highs. I mean, the 52.6% is 6 points better than his best in his career. His 45% from three is 4 points better. So if you got two guys at the guard spot, right, and obviously in Spider and Garland shooting 40% from three, that is something to write home about. And I think that is something that I don't think people understand is the ability in this league to knock down threes, but also knock down threes at a high clip. And that is something that has been really good for that guard play of Cleveland. But the thing is that although they're doing really well offensively, you also got to say that defensively as a team, they're doing pretty well as well. Now, offensively, they're scoring 122.4 points per game, right? And I think that's significant. But you also have to look at the fact of defensively, you know, they have to improve the rebounding, but they are playing pretty good defense, but their offense is absolutely fantastic. The team that's playing terribly, I mean, do we want to go back and talk about Milwaukee for a 15th time already? Okay, we will. They're old. Middleton isn't back. Damian Lillard doesn't look like himself. Giannis is pissed off. Brook Lopez is a year older. They don't have depth. They can't shoot it well enough from three. So now you have a situation where you can crowd the paint. You know, Milwaukee is in the bottom, I think, 10, shooting 34.6% from three. So if you look at it that they can't knock down perimeter shots, right, and teams can load up on Giannis, that becomes a problem. They have to shoot the ball better from three, right? The other thing about Milwaukee is if you take away Giannis, I mean, who gets to the free throw line for that team? They average 23 free throws a game. Well, Giannis probably takes about 10 of them by himself. So they have to do a better job of getting other people to step up. Also, they can't create second chance points. Why? Because they're fourth worst in the NBA in offensive rebounds. They got a guy in Brook Lopez who's 7'1". It's funny. I talked to Michelle Beadle about this a couple of days ago when I went on her show. And we had this great talk about this. If you took Brook Lopez, the offensive game, and you put it with his twin brother Robin, who couldn't score a lick, but was tough as you know what, and would battle on the boards, you'd have a Hall of Fame center. If Brook Lopez was tough like his brother in a defensive end and had his offensive game, you would have a Hall of Fame center. Go book it. But he doesn't want that smoke. And with Doc Rivers, they're in a tough spot. What are they going to do? That's something we need to watch out for. So my surprise team in the East, Cleveland. My disappointing team in the East, Milwaukee. Heading to the Western Conference now. Surprise team has got to be Golden State. I mean, is there any other team to look at right now? The Golden State Warriors, you know, after this year, and obviously they got, you know, I don't want to call it revenge because I don't think it was revenge. But, you know, the go ahead and win last night versus Dallas with Klay Thompson returning. They're sitting at 9-2, right? 9-2 right now in the Western Conference. And you can, you know, pull up their schedule and look at the fact of they haven't played the hardest opponents. They've played Portland, Utah, New Orleans twice. They're banged up, Washington. But, folks, hello, they got to win at Boston. They beat Dallas. They beat Oklahoma City. So this team is playing really, really good basketball. And, guys, I'm not going to go to Steph Curry because we know Steph has been Steph. To me, a lot of it has to do with the play of three people. One, let's start with my guy, Bad Buddy, Buddy Hield, coming over as a free agent, giving you 17.6 points per game, one of the best shooters in the NBA, shooting at 49.6%, 47% from three. This split-screen action is creating catch-and-shoot opportunities for a guy that's made more catch-and-shoot threes, I think, since he started in his NBA career. So Bad Buddy fits them perfectly. Jonathan Kuminga, listen, they're bringing him off the bench. I think it's the right move. I think it calms him down, especially the last three games going 16-20-21. Jonathan Kuminga is a phenomenal talent, but I think what he was doing is he was taking it too much on the fact that he was going to be that next guy. Don't worry about being that next guy. Just be one of the guys. And as he started to relax, he started to play better. But I can't say enough about Andrew Wiggins. Okay? I know he had a rough game last night, only 8 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. But he looks more engaged to me, right? He looks like someone that wants to be there and it's really embracing it. So I do love the way that obviously Golden State is playing. And as much as I want to give credit to Steph Curry, you really got to look at Buddy Hield. You got to look at Jonathan Kuminga. You got to look at Andrew Wiggins, and definitely the job that Steve Curry is doing. I mean, think about the fact that Steve Curry, the last 3 years, have lost Mike Brown and obviously Kenny Atkinson as assistants, and this team's excelling, especially on the defensive end. Great job by Golden State. Team that's been a disappointment, I have to go to New Orleans. Now, it's tough to say this, but guys, New Orleans is banged up. I mean, they're banged up. I mean, New Orleans is sitting right now at 3-8, losers of 5 straight games. I mean, guys, do we want to look at the injuries right now with them? Alvarado out, Zion out, Hawkins out, Jones out, McCollum out, DeJounte gets hurt first game of the year. Folks, you could argue the only player in their top seven that's not on this list is Brandon Ingram. And Brandon Ingram gets hurt a lot. He gets hurt a lot. So Brandon Ingram's trying to do his best at 22.9 points per game, 5.9 rebounds, 5 assists. But he can't carry this team. He can't. But he's also got to shoot the ball a little bit better from three. But he's taking it on the chin here. So my surprise team, Western Conference, Golden State team, disappointing, is the Pelicans. Let's quickly go to Friday and the second games in the in-season tournament. First of starting off with the Pacers and the versus the Heat. I'd like the Pacers to come out of this group, and Miami did themselves no favors by turning around and losing in an absolute wild game. Wild game. I guess you would say that Eric Spoelstra turned into Chris Webber, for lack of a better word, by calling a timeout in overtime and kind of blowing that game for the Heat. I like Indiana in this game. I think Indiana's starting to play much better basketball. If you look at their play as of late, you know, they beat New York in a really good game, 132-121 on Sunday. They got Orlando Wednesday and then Miami Friday. I think this is a good spot, and it's at home. This is a good spot for the Pacers. I'll be looking at taking an Indiana Pacers because I think they're going to use their speed and their athleticism and try and run them out of the building. Next matchup. Lakers-Spurs. We got the news, and we should have talked about this. Greg Popovich was announced. He has been out. They did say it is a mild stroke. So as a coach, you know, I love Pop. I love what he's done in the league. We need Pop back. This Spurs team is a team that I was expecting to surprise teams, and they're up and down, right? But their win total is like 35.5. And right now, they're in line to do that. So a team that's been inconsistent versus the Lakers. Simply put, Lakers home, great. Lakers road, bad. That's why I'm going to end up taking the Spurs at home to go ahead and get the win versus the Lakers. Interesting game out west, Clippers-Rockets. Okay? Clippers, a team that I was not high on, 35.5, I do believe, was their win total. They're sitting at 6-5 versus a Rockets team that's really starting to come on, folks. I told you guys I was big on this Rockets team from the jump. And they are in first place in their division. They've won 4 of their last 5 games. Only loss was to Oklahoma City. I know they have not beaten some powerhouses, but they did beat the Knicks by 12 at home. And the New Yorkers, with the second-rated offense in the NBA, they held them to 100 points, under 100. So this is a matchup here that I'm looking at the defensive side of the ball, and I'm squarely looking at that matchup in the center between Ibaka Zubac and Alperen Şengün. Alperen Şengün has been absolutely dynamic. I think I told people, like, when they realize that he needs to be the best player, he's not scoring the most, but it's 17.8, 11.5, 3.8 assists over a block per game. He is playing really good basketball. He's got to get that three-point shooting up a little bit, but he's playing really good basketball. Sticking with the side, I'm going with the home team. Give me the Houston Rockets. Next matchup, Suns Thunder. Big matchup here between these two teams because of the fact of the injuries, right? You know, obviously you look at the fact that Hartenstein has not played yet. for the Thunder. And obviously the loss of Chet Holmgren to the fractured hip is a problem. Other side, Phoenix, loss of Kevin Durant for a couple weeks with a calf injury. So he may miss most of these group play games, I guess we would call them, in an in-season tournament. I said this yesterday on Pharrell. I think you need to be looking at Oklahoma City to have games go over. Because of no rim protection of Hartenstein and Chet, those are the two best rim protectors, I expect Oklahoma City to really, honestly, rely on their guard play, pick up the pace, play full court basketball, really attack the basket and try and use their speed and athleticism. So you know what that means? That means his SGA first game, I think he had over 40. So I'm looking at SGA, Williams, Dort. Those three give me a 27.8, right? Williams is getting you about 20, and then you're getting about 11.5 from Lou Dort. So I expect that team to play with pace. So look at that game, Suns, Thunder, over. Last game, Grizzlies versus Warriors. This is a rivalry thing going back to a couple of years ago. And while I like Golden State, I'm going to go ahead and take the Grizzlies here to steal this one on the road. You can look at part of the schedule and say, yes, they've played some tough teams, but they've also played a bunch of cupcakes, Golden State, right? Portland, Utah, New Orleans twice. They're banged up at Washington, right? So this is a big spot Friday night. I'm going to take a chance here. Give me the Grizzlies to get an upset on the road. So I'm going to take the point. The better way to do it is probably just take the points here. Remember, on Friday, I'll give picks for all this on my High Five only on the Sports Grid app. Really quick, three games in college on Friday. Typical Saturdays, the big games. First game is Virginia versus Villanova. Both teams in turmoil in different ways. Obviously, Tony Bennett stepping down and resigning from Virginia right before the season started versus the Villanova team that, folks, I got to take my glasses off. I can't figure this team out. I can't figure this team out for two damn years. And the problem that keeps coming up is the coaching of Kyle Neptune. This is a rough spot for this guy coming as Jay Wright's disciple, right? He went to Fordham and he won. And then he just, they don't look organized. They don't give effort. This is not the Villanova way. This isn't the attitude that what Jay Wright has preached through all the years. I mean, Billy Lane, the former assistant, beat their asses 2 years in a row. So I can't take Villanova anymore. I'm off. And I love Eric Dixon. I love Wooger Poplar. I'm sure Kyle Neptune's a great guy. But this guy's got to get this team to play hard and play hard every night. Because Villanova's got the talent to be top 25 in the nation. They just don't show it consistent enough. So for me, I'm going Virginia. I know they have a new coach, but it's an interim. But he's part of the staff, the Tony Bennett staff. I can't ride Villanova until I get their you-know-what together. Second game, Alabama-Purdue. Now, here is interesting. Remember, Zach Edey graduated, right? So you have Lawyer, you have Smith. That's their backcourt. But Alabama can match up their backcourt with obviously Mark Sears. The key thing is Jacobson, the big, got hurt. He's out, right, for Purdue. So I'm looking at Alabama here because of their guard play. And I'm telling you guys, the play of Cliff Omori is going to be really big for two reasons. Number one, Big Cliff can block shot and get rebounds all over the place. And he can protect the rim. And two, it moves Nelson to the four where he's most effective. Look for Alabama to get that win over Purdue and cover the spread. Last game, Marquette, Maryland. Secretly, Coach Willard is doing a good job this year with Maryland, right? Both of these teams, if I'm not mistaken, are ranked in the national poll. So this should be a pretty good matchup for two teams that are challenging themselves non-conference. So where do you look, right? To me, you look at the team that's got better guard play. And to me, that team is Marquette, right? When you look at Jonathan Joplin and their play to be able to score, their three-pronged attack with the third score, I think that's enough. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take Marquette. So really quickly, for those three games, I like Virginia over Villanova. Okay, I like Alabama over Purdue. And I like Marquette over Maryland. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast for November 13th. For all things sports gambling, download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more. And the very best in the sports gambling industry. Next week, next podcast, let's reshape some of the NBA marks in regards to MVP, most improved, defensive player of the year. Maybe we'll look at some team totals. Kind of hit the reset button. We did it with surprising teams. Let's look at individual awards and kind of give that a little bit of love. We'll do that. Although, and also wrap up, talk about games in the in-season tournament from this past Friday, along with college basketball. For my producer, Maddie George, Vinny does a great job with the graphics. Thank you for listening, folks. And remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.